Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald Riley, and unfortunately, my girlfriend, my baby, my beautiful wife, Katasha Riley, couldn't be here today. Once again, she is at our salon and barbershop, Overflow, holding it down. So she gonna be okay. Listen, we're broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And today's Sunday Conversation with the Riley is, it's a very special episode. It's definitely information that needs to be put out into the public. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our studio the Domestic Violence Roundtable. I'm going to call them crew. Okay? I renamed it. It's called the Domestic Violence Roundtable Crew. Please welcome Miss Annie Davis. Say hello, Miss Davis.
Hello there.
Miss Yolanda Fry. They call her emotional support.
Good afternoon.
And Mrs. Felicia Belk on the camera.
Hello, everybody.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, first things first. What is the Domestic Violence Roundtable, Inc.? What is it?
The Domestic Violence Roundtable is a coordinated effort in the community to educate and to eliminate domestic violence in our community.
Outstanding. Now, who started this organization?
This organization was started back in about 1989 or so. It started with the Georgia Legal Services in conjunction with some community voices that needed to be heard and saw that there were gaps in the processing of keeping people safe in their homes.
Outstanding, outstanding. Now, what is your official title for the organization?
Currently, I am the immediate past chair, as well as the chairperson for the education and outreach team.
Outstanding. Now, Mrs. Yolanda Fryer, what's your position there?
I am the current chair of the Domestic Violence Roundtable.
Okay, Miss Felicia on camera.
I am the current public relations and media chairperson.
So we really have like a super team here, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get down to business. What is the textbook definition of domestic violence?
For first of all, Mr. Riley, thank you for having us. It's such an important subject for us to be talking about to make sure that everyone understands what's going on and how to effectively end domestic violence. So domestic violence is not just a one-time event. It's a pattern of abusive behaviors in a relationship where one party wants to control the other party. The partner seeks to gain control over their thoughts, over their actions, and it can range in a harmful range of emotions or behaviors. We typically think of domestic violence as when someone is hit and slapped or punched, mm-hmm. but domestic violence encompasses various tactics, which includes intimidation, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, controlling the children, isolation. All of those tactics can be a part of domestic violence.
Oh, wow. You just covered a wide range of things. So what age group is most affected by domestic violence?
Well, for us specifically, we deal with women who are between the ages of 19 to 39. But we want to make sure that people understand that domestic violence does include children as well. And it sometimes includes the male partner. Unfortunately, we're looking at right now 85 to 89% of the abuse happens against women and children. And so our stance with Domestic Violence Roundtable, our focus is keeping women and children safe in their homes.
Okay, now is the Domestic Violence Roundtable, is that an organization, let's say, I know someone that I suspect was being abused. Mm-hmm. Is there a hotline to call?
Now, our hotline, of course, we do have the national hotline, which is 1-800-33-HAVEN, but we also have our Women's Alliance, our batterer shelter here, and we do have phone contact for them as well. So, and it is Hope Harbor for people that are familiar with the Women's Batterer Shelter here in the Columbus area. But we also have a very high presence of the Domestic Violence Roundtable has a very high presence out on Facebook where you can go and get information. Say you have questions. People sometimes have questions about what can I do? Who can I call? Where can I go? So going out to the Facebook page can give you the numbers and the contacts that you need to help us. Give you an example, Mr. Riley, is that a lot of people stay in their relationships because they may have pets and they're afraid to leave their pets. Well, did you know that we have a group of folks that's called the Ahimsa House that will take your pets? So what we've tried to do is the roundtable tries to have a resource pool to help people find the resources they need in order to help them out of the situation.
Man, that is outstanding and awesome. Now, is this organization a nonprofit 501c3?
It is nonprofit 501c3. Anyone can come and join us. And to help us have, we need feet, we need hands, we need voices out there trying to help modify the culture that we currently live in that says violence against other people is okay.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Now, I guess this is more like a personal question.
Okay.
Why are you a member of this organization?
I'm a member of this organization, Mr. Riley, because this is something I feel like I was called to do. Working in the church as an officer in the church, I found that a lot of people could not even trust the God that we're seeking because they could not even trust the man that they came to church with. So for me to help them heal through that process. If I can help someone understand how their abusive, negative, unhealthy behaviors are negatively impacting someone else and help modify that behavior, I feel like I've done what I've been called to do.
That is outstanding. Now, can I ask you, Miss Yolanda? Come on to the mic, Miss Yolanda. Come on to the mic.
Yes, sir.
What inspired you to join this organization?
Well, I have been a social worker for many, many, many years. So as a social worker, it has always been my passion to work with individuals in our community and not only our community, in the areas, surrounding areas. So with that passion, I have come to work with Hope Harbor, the Domestic Violence Shelter, and through that, I have gained more knowledge in working with victims of domestic violence. And it is our goal at this time to, as Ms. Annie has stated, to help eradicate domestic violence in our communities and in the homes of families.
That is outstanding. Thank you very much. That's the last question I ask you, I promise. I'm not going to ask you to get on the mic anymore. Now, I've been doing a little research on domestic violence.
Okay.
Is domestic violence different than domestic abuse, or is it just a play on words?
It really is a play on words. The abuse is the actual behaviors or the actual tactics. Mm-hmm. The violence is the result of it. So it really kind of interchanges and intercedes with each other.
Outstanding. Listen, just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Domestic Violence Roundtable, Inc., and we're here with Miss Annie Davis, Miss Yolanda Fryer, and Felicia Belk. Now, my next question about domestic violence. How can you determine if a person is in a domestic violence situation?
How can you, as an observer?
As an observer.
There are a few things that you could possibly observe, but the one thing that we want to do is make sure that we are observing the correct things, because sometimes people can have some type of emotional behaviors personally themselves that may look like it. But typically what will happen is you can pick up on some of the interactive behaviors between two people. You know, if when one party comes in and the other party always shuts down, now all of a sudden they don't have anything to say in the conversation where they were alive and bubbly. A lot of times, even when there is a stark personality change in someone when they meet someone new. Example, if that person is someone who is outgoing, always been with friends and family, and all of a sudden they stop contacting friends and family, stop coming to family events, and using different rationalizations or, i.e., excuses why they cannot attend, that is a red flag. And of course, once you see some of the kind of obvious signs, like any type of physical abuse, all of a sudden they're wearing extra heavy makeup, they all of a sudden wearing long sleeves all of the time, or always covered, let me put it that way. So those are kinds of things that can raise red flags. We as support systems and the people on the outside must be sensitive to what is going on to be able to allow that person to feel comfortable enough to talking about it and asking the right questions, not as probing, but as I care about you.
Outstanding. Now, I noticed there has been an emphasis on the women who have been mm-hmm. abused in domestic violence situations. Can men be domestically abused?
Absolutely. Men, unfortunately, right now, from our cultural perspective, it has been harder for men to address it, to say that I am being abused, that there are things going on with me, that because sometimes in relationships, women can have the power, because the power comes not only from the physical power, but the economic power. So someone can be in a situation where they feel trapped, and now that they are being told how to think, when to think, where to go, how to dress, all of those things. So absolutely, yes, men can be victims of domestic violence. And until they are ready to speak out and address it, it's hard for us. Because again, right now, 85% to 89% of our victims are women. And the perpetrators are men.
And the reason why I asked this question, mm-hmm. because I'm no man that, like me, I was raised mom, dad, Christian household. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Respect women. Don't put your hands on women. Mm-hmm. But if you get with a woman who wasn't raised like that, now all of a sudden she's putting her hands on you and you were raised not to hit her back. Now you're walking around here with black eyes scraped up and everything because you're trying to be a gentleman.
Absolutely.
And so really you're in a domestic violence situation as a man.
And absolutely, and one of the things that we would hope that people will learn and what we want to educate people on is when those kinds of things happen is to be able to speak out, because the unfortunate part, and it's not making any kind of excuses for anyone, but that woman could be really suffering from previous domestic violence herself. And what we know typically is that hurt people hurt people. And so if that man who feels like he is in an abusive situation is not ready to speak out and say, hey, you know what? This is not right. We need help, and be able to go out and seek that help to help her heal, then it becomes very toxic and very dangerous.
No, that's a great segue. What causes a person to want to abuse another person?
Mr. Riley, as a mental health therapist and a researcher myself, just looking into trauma. When people are traumatized, we look at what's called the ACEs survey, is the adverse childhood experiences. Mm-hmm. And we know for a fact that anyone who has grown up with certain kind of markers in their life are going to repeat that. Mm-hmm. So if you as a child grew up in a situation where there was always fighting, there was alcoholism, there was uncontrolled, undiagnosed mental health issues going on, suicidal ideations. So we're talking about children being raised in an unstable environment. Mm. So unstable environments creates anxiety. Anxiety creates reactive behaviors. And so now you're growing up, nobody's ever addressed it. You're getting into these relationships with people who come from other different walks of life. And now you're actually clashing. So that is where the clash comes in, and we have to begin to heal that person from whatever trauma they have. But again, everybody cannot diagnose that. It's not a diagnosis that you can do on the street, but it is being able to recognize trauma that has a child has experienced growing up.
outstanding. Okay, as a society, what mm-hmm. can we do as a whole to help curb the amount of domestic violence that's taking place, not just in our city, but all over the world?
First of all, it would mean that we will return to a level of prayer that we bring into our home, and that we role model and begin to learn how to love each other by loving ourselves first. Because we have to love ourselves. And a lot of the anxiety or the hatred comes from our own self-loathing. So we have to be able to learn how to love ourselves in order to love others. And then as a society, to lower the veil of this this negative approach that we have to mental health and what mental health crisis looks like, and be able to talk about it. If we keep it to ourselves, we begin to have these our own unhealthy resolves. So until we talk about it, until we can sit down and process and resolve what has happened to us in our lives, will we be able to make some positive changes?
Outstanding. Now, who suffers the most from domestic violence? What race group? Because I looked this up.
Okay.
I did my homework.
You did your homework,
Miss Felicia Belk. I did my homework.
Right now, what we know is that African Americans suffer the most from it.
Why?
You tell me. Why do you think we suffer the most from it?
Frustration in society.
Absolutely. When we look at the African American society and what has happened to us over time in our society as a culture, how we've been segregated, we've been knocked down, we've not been taken seriously, and each time that we have some type of movement, another a superior race with more money, more power comes in and sends us back. And so really it comes from this fighting to survive. It's a survival tactic. And we don't know how to change it once we leave those unhealthy outside interactions, when we go back home to our significant others. And when we go back to the place that should create a place of safety, mm-hmm. it no longer becomes safe anymore because we're still fighting.
I agree with you. And I also think that we need to get back to, like you said, prayer.
Absolutely.
Prayer and fasting.
Absolutely.
And take it to God, because we're holding on to all this weight, and we continue to put on this weight, and eventually something's going to break.
Absolutely.
And most of the time it breaks with violence.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, tell us something about domestic violence that maybe the listening audience don't know. Give us an interesting fact about domestic violence. Or an experience.
Okay. Something that we hear a lot is that a lot of people really still think that domestic violence has an economic mindset for it. And it doesn't. It happens across all economic parameters, all races, colors, and creeds. We do have people that make six figures, millions of dollars, who are victims of domestic violence. Some of them survive, some of them don't. So that is one of the things we think is just a poor man's problem, but it's not. And the domestic violence that starts in the home enters the community. Because if we're fighting at home and there is a lack of respect or honesty there, of course it's going to spill out into the community as well.
At the end of the day, we're talking about violence.
We're talking about violence.
So do you believe that the music influence the violence?
Absolutely, yes. What our brain hears is what our brain is going to process. And it processes it to the soul of to our soul. And so when we hear all of these negative things, it desensitizes us to the right thing to do or how to be any differently. So, and if people are making money, billions of dollars from it, it becomes where we want to be.
Now, Now, you know what I think about that?
What's that?
This is just my theory.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm right. This is just Riley's theory.
Riley's theory.
I think that it goes back to when Lucifer was in heaven,
mm-hmm.
and he was over the choir,
mm-hmm.
and then God cast him down. Now he's over, God said he's prince over the airwaves,
mm-hmm.
prince of the air. And so radio waves and signals go through the air. And so Lucifer has hijacked the music and all these other things. And so he's trying to make us self-destruct
mm-hmm.
through the music. Now that's just my little, you know, simple theory or whatever, but hey.
And it's a great theory, and we need to hear more of that from a perspective that helps someone heal from it and to understand what you're listening to is what becomes your character.
Outstanding. Now, what are some effects of domestic violence?
Some of the effects of domestic violence include and are not limited to the anxiety, the depression, repeating the violence themselves, for children not being able to function in school, not being able to care for themselves growing up, not being able to as an adult be able to function, keeping jobs, being able to stay in homes, pay rent every week, so every month. So all of those things affect us in such a negative way. We continue to hope that people get it and to be able to have more conversations about what is really going on in our society.
You know, when I look at you ladies, the job that you ladies have is not an easy job. You guys are not selling ice cream.
We're not.
You know, you hear some horrific stories, and I'm quite sure you have met people that have experienced some life-changing events in their life. So my question to you is, how do you separate your personal from your work? Because it has to be hard, because I know you ladies are passionate about what you do. And I know sometimes it grabs our heart and you'd be like, oh, he should be under the jail. And so how do you separate that? Or do you separate it? Or do you take it home with you?
Mr. Ryder, me personally, I have learned not to take it home with me. I have learned in my own journey that I cannot step away from prayer. I cannot step away from meditation. One of the things for me as a facilitator for men that have committed domestic violence is I do that because my goal is to help modify that behavior in order that the men who have been identified as perpetrators can change their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about changing lives. And so as a Christian, on my own journey, it's about changing lives for the better. If I can bring someone else closer to God for their own salvation, I feel like I have done my work.
So on your job, is your relationship with God a part of your strength on your job? Does it help you on your job?
Oh, absolutely.
How does it help you?
It helps me because it keeps me grounded. It keeps me focused. It keeps me, it takes Annie out of it. And it leaves an open space for people to heal. And that's what it's about. It's about the healing process.
Okay. Now, is verbal abuse a part of domestic violence?
Absolutely.
So you mean to tell me words can hurt?
Words can hurt, and they do, and words have a significant, can leave a significant mark on your soul. Take, for instance, you and your wife are together. If either she's going to call you a nice name every day and then make you smile, or she's going to say something negative about you. So if someone has to listen to something negative about them from someone who they should be trusting, they should be respecting, mm-hmm. and who is their other half, how do you think that makes you feel?
Rough.
Absolutely. And when we hear that enough, we begin to act it out. When we begin to act it out, it becomes our character. When it becomes our character, that becomes our legacy. And so that's the legacy that you leave.
Okay, now what is the legacy of the Domestic Violence Roundtable, Inc.? What is the goal?
The goal is to minimize, eliminate, and eradicate domestic violence locally, and hopefully it will transcend to a national level.
Okay, now you guys have something coming up. What do you have coming up as an organization?
On Tuesday, October 8th, we have the Hope Harbor Walk, which starts at 5:15 from Countries on Broadway and comes down to Woodruff Park. At 6 o'clock, we will have our annual vigil, and this is where we will hear a testimony from a young woman who is a thriver from domestic violence. She started out going to college and ended up a victim, but now she's a thriver. So we will be listening to Parisha Dixon on...
What is a thriver?
A thriver is someone who has not only just survived, but now they are out here, they are in the trenches, and they are speaking out and giving people hope about how they can get out.
Okay. Outstanding. Now, how can people donate?
We do, on the Facebook page, we do have our QR code there, or you can go to PayPal and make a donation to us and for Domestic Violence Roundtable, as well as Hope Harbor. And Hope Harbor is our local domestic violence shelter here in Columbus.
Now, again, if someone wants to get in contact with you guys, how can they get in contact with the Domestic Violence Roundtable, Inc. or Hope Harbor?
You can go out on Facebook for Domestic Violence Roundtable, and for Hope Harbor, it's info@hopeharbor.org. Or you can contact us at Domestic Violence Roundtable @gmail.com.
Outstanding. Now, in closing, is there anything that you would like to say that maybe we didn't cover during the course of the interview?
Well, just to let you know, Mr. Riley, we do have two other events. We are Education Tuesdays. So every Tuesday we have an event. October 15th, we'll be at the library. We'll be showing the movie Sleeping with the Enemy. And really, it's not just about showing the movie, but it's really about showing how something can start out really good mm-hmm. and turn out really bad, and really helping people understand what the gaps are and how to close those gaps. And then on October 22nd, we'll be back at the library again at 12 o'clock noon, where we will be giving a self-defense demonstration on how to kind of help yourself if you get into a predicament.
Man, that is outstanding. Now, in closing, we mm-hmm. do something at the end of the show mm-hmm. called the Marriage Minute. I don't know if you've heard of the Marriage Minute. Now, each of you ladies can participate if you want to. The Marriage Minute is dedicated to just giving relationship advice. One tidbit to having a successful relationship, whether it's i.e. a marriage, a friendship, a parent, child, just something to help people better understand and perform in a relationship. So it's called the Marriage Minute. So I need some advice.
Okay. For me, what I've learned is just being honest, being transparent. And the one thing that I can say, my husband makes me laugh. And so that keeps the joy in our relationship and keeps me smiling. And when things are not always good, but when they aren't, I can always reflect on one of those laughs that he has given me before.
You know, I heard a line in a movie that said, if a man can make a woman laugh, he can kiss her.
Absolutely.
That's what I heard in the movie.
And he can.
And my wife say the same thing. She say, yeah.
It works.
You want to give some advice?
My advice would be to keep God first, always communicate in a positive manner, and never go to bed angry with your partner. I'm sorry, I took some of hers. So let's see what she has.
The only thing that I would say, the youngest of the group. This group being married, is to listen, not just hear your partner, but to actually listen to them when you're communicating with each other.
Very good. Outstanding. This has been Riley with Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. Peace.
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 Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.